Hey, I'm Chase from Iowa.
I'm Alex from Chicago.
I'm Jake from Downers Grove.
Sound of Young America is produced independently
and supported by listeners like you and me.
You should support the show like I did. Just visit MaximumFun.org/donate.
I'm Jesse Thorne, live on tape from my house in Los Angeles. It's the Sound of Young America from MaximumFun.org and PRI, Public Radio International. It's the Sound of Young America. I'm Jesse Thorne. My guest on the show is Matt Berninger. He's the frontman of the Brooklyn-based rock and roll band, The National. The National are now more than 10 years into their rock and roll career, and it's been a slow and steady build. Their first big LP came 5 years in, Alligator, in 2005. 2007's Boxer was one of the most acclaimed records of that year. Stereo Gum, the Buzz Music website, picked it as the second best record of 2007. With each successive record, they've built their fan base, and now they're a major national act. Their new album is called High Violet. Let's hear a little bit of one of the singles from the record, Blood Buzz Ohio.
Stand up straight at the foot of your love. I lift my shirt. Stand up straight at the foot of your love. I lift my shirt up. I was carried to Ohio in a swarm of bees. I never married. But Ohio don't remember me.
Matt Berninger, welcome to The Sound of Young America. It's so great
Thank
to have you.
You
on the show.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
You had a real career that wasn't music.
Yeah.
Like a genuine professional.
Yeah, I was a creative director at a new media company in New York, which, you know, we did mostly websites and web advertising and all kinds of stuff like that.
When you moved to New York and went into graphic design, did you think that you were going to be a graphic designer who maybe played in a band, or did you think that it was a way station to something else?
No, I was graphic design was what I thought. That's what I was going to do, you know. And in fact, I don't play the guitar or anything. So the idea of being a musician wasn't even something I entertained the idea of. But it was after living in New York for about 5 years. I lived in a loft that was down by the Gowanus Canal, and we had all this space, and so I was, you know, working 50, 60-hour weeks, but then I would come home and I would paint because I wasn't even a painter, but we had all this, like, it was a giant, just raw loft. So
it just seemed like you should be
doing
artsy loft
stuff. Right, exactly. So, and then Scott would come over and some friends would come over and we had a four-track that was left over from somewhere. And, we started goofing around writing songs, and that was in late 98 or something like that. And it was mostly because we just had space to do stuff like that, and it was just a diversion or, you know, a respite from thinking about our corporate jobs. And Scott was also a very successful designer. But at some point, he called his brother to come to play drums on some stuff we were goofing around with. His brother called Aaron and Bryce Desner because his brother Brian had been in a band with them. And so suddenly sort of the three of them, the Desners and Brian Devendorf, were actually very serious musicians. And that's when it started to sound like an actual band a little bit.
So you're like a big, handsome guy. But I wonder how you felt being out in front of this band, like being a front man when even the idea of making music was something that you had only relatively recently accepted would be real?
I mean, the idea of being a front man or being like performing wasn't there yet. We were, it was not something. The truth is, I think if I knew it was going to lead to that, I probably would have stopped, because the idea of standing in front of people, I think it's, you know, most people's, worst fear, public speaking, you know, or, you know, giving speeches at weddings or that kind of thing, or standing up in front of the class. I find that terrifying. And, but when we started the band, we started writing these songs. It was very like in your bedroom by yourself with your headphones on. And that's how we made that first record. We'd never played a gig before we made that record without ever playing anywhere. Although I guess I did do the college thing, the Greek restaurant thing, but that was, it was really terrifying. It's not something I felt comfortable doing or liked doing at all. And in fact, with the National, it took many, many years of doing that a lot until I started to feel a little more comfortable up there on stage. I got to a point where I just started realizing that just embrace the fact that it's uncomfortable and be uncomfortable and sort of let that be the thing you do. And so I never worry too much, like the awkward silences or the, you know, failed banter that's not funny. And you know, I've been referred to as compared to Rain Man on the stage, which is, I understand it, because I look like I'm a little bit just really awkward. But I think it's like, after a while, I was like, that's fine, you know. I was like, why? That's an okay thing to be, you know. You don't have to be cool or charming or funny. I think I'm charming on stage, but I'm starting to become more comfortable and funny. But yeah, the idea of performing was just the last thing. I considered when this band started. And
what did you like about doing it enough to keep doing it despite these sort of modest discomforts and challenges?
It was all of us, when we started getting together, I think the thing that got us all really excited is that there would be a couple of songs that we thought, like, I mean, when we first started, just the idea of making any songs together that sounded like halfway decent songs was a thrill in itself. But then we realized we had written a couple of really good songs. There's our first record just has a couple of things that we realize this is, you know, a lot of it's average, but some of this is a lot better than average. And I think we all just got excited by that, just by the songs. And I think that's what's always been our motivation, I think.
I want to play a song from the first record. Can you give me an example of one of the songs from that album that you remember putting together and then thinking like, wow, that's actually something?
I think Cold Girl Fever was a song that we thought that was possibly a good song on that thing. I'd have to look at that record.
Let's take a listen to Cold Girl Fever from the National's first album. My guest is Matt Berninger. He's the frontman of the band.
Bottle eyes, glassy blue. I watch the rain come out of you. Sky is white with the flu. I'm terrified. If I go to the sea, I'll bring you down, down with me. If I go to the rain, you'll never see me again. You got cold girl fever.
So, I mean, I think for folks who heard the song that we played at the very beginning of this interview, which was Blood Buzz Ohio off your most recent record, High Violet, and then heard that song from your first album, they hear a lot of aesthetic differences.
How would you describe the way that the band changed in terms of its aesthetics over the course of this, over the course of what, at least for a lot of the public, it came to be sort of like a 6-year gestation period?
That first record, I think, was just it was just us trying to figure out any kind of sound, and we were using some slide guitar and some things that were, you know, alt country leaning, you know, much more on that first record, and it wasn't because any of us were big alt country fans or anything. It was, we all had very different ideas of what kind of band we wanted to be, and we just tried a bunch of different things, and I think we were compared to, I mean, I think only about 2 people wrote anything about that record, but it was like a Silver Jews or, you know, I remember it was basically said, like, if you're you might like this if you're into Silver Jews, but why not just wait for the next Silver Jews album? I think that was, that might have been what Pitchfork said at that point. We were surprised that Pitchfork even wrote about it. But I would say it wasn't until the EP that came out called Cherry Tree where we started to find ourselves or grow up a little bit as musicians and as a band and sort of, you know, become a real band around then, I think.
What was it, do you think, that you found when you started finding something?
There's a song on that EP called All Dolled Up in Straps, which is, I still think to this day, is like possibly one of our best songs, in our top 10 songs. And I think we also embraced some of the darkness and the gloom that is in a lot of our records, and embraced it in a way where we started to celebrate it a little bit. And so I think that was a turning point.
Let's hear a little bit of The National with All Dolled Up in Straps. My guest is the band's frontman, Matt Berninger.
I think I saw you riding in a car. You looked happy for a woman, black fingers in your mouth, and a white pearl choker. My head plays it over and over. Don't interrupt me, I think I saw you reaching for a glass. Your lanky white arms, nothing else moves that way, you're kidding me. My head plays it over and over. Don't interrupt me. All up in straps, all colored in. Now, love, where have you been? Dolled up in straps, all colored in. Now, love, where have you been? Where have you been?
My guest is Matt Berninger, the frontman of the Brooklyn rock band The National. We'll have more with him on The Sound of Young America from MaximumFun.org and PRI, Public Radio International. The Sound of Young America is supported in part by Ask Metafilter. Thousands of life's little questions answered online at ask.metafilter.com. And by Smith Micro Software, makers of Stuff It Deluxe, designed to move files simply and securely wherever customers want them to go. For Mac and PC, online at stuffit.com. Coverage of the world of comedy on The Sound of Young America is supported by Humber College, offering a 2-year program dedicated to comedy. Students learn stand-up, improv, acting, and writing skills and perform in the heart of Toronto. At Humber, we make funny people funnier. More information at humbercomedy.com. Whether you're a Max FunCon veteran or you've been thinking about going for 2 years and you're ready to pull the trigger, prepare yourself. Max FunCon 2011 tickets will go on sale the day after Thanksgiving, Black Friday, at maxfuncon.com. Max FunCon is a weekend of entertainment and enlightenment and friendship in Lake Arrowhead, California, just east of Los Angeles. Join us in a luxurious summer camp environment for
comedy shows and classes and new friends and all kinds of great stuff. It's kind of hard to describe. Actually, if I could offer one piece of advice, maybe you go to Flickr and search Max FunCon and you'll see the pictures of people having a blast. Anyway, be sure to log into MaxFunCon.com the day after Thanksgiving to get your tickets. We've even got special gift packages this year, so if Max FunCon registration is a gift to someone important in your life, like a lady or a gentleman or even a best pal, we've got a little something that you can put under the tree. It's all online at MaxFunCon.com starting the day after Thanksgiving. It's the Sound of Young America. I'm Jesse Thorne. My guest is Matt Berninger, the frontman of the Brooklyn rock band The National. There's this beautiful song that opens your album Boxer from 2007 called Fake Empire. And it moves very much like, in a way that when I first heard it, I thought, oh, it sort of has that swirling immersive quality of like a U2 song or something. But then I was like, no, it actually has the swirling immersive quality of like a Steve Reich piece. Mm-hmm. But I want to play a little bit of the song. And this is towards the end as some kind of, I guess maybe like bassoons or something join the fray. There's something that struck me about that actually is really interesting to me about a lot of your records, which is there's this really interesting tension between the sort of driving propulsiveness of rock music. You know, rock music mm-hmm. is this sort of charging ahead mm-hmm. kind of music, and that, you know, that thing that you hear in a minimalist composer, that kind of almost like recursiveness.
There's
sort of a tension there.
Yeah. I think that we without ever talking about it, for some reason, we're always drawn to those suspense building moments that hold on something for a while and it swells with tension and it's fun. It's drama.
One thing that I wondered as I heard it was your album Boxer from 2007. That was the first record of yours that I had heard. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I wondered as I listened to this, it's a very beautiful album, was what are the parts of making this that are really fun? Because it's an album that, as you said, embraces darkness and sadness. Yeah. But I can't imagine. I there was something about it that made me think like, well, they don't just seem like sad guys.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, why I'm so drawn to writing about sort of emotionally, wrecked things. I don't know, but I do find that really fun I find it fun to wallow in that stuff a little bit. And I also don't think it's so much. I don't ever think of the songs as like. I think they're kind of well rounded. I think there's darkness. There's some gloomy stuff. There's a lot of awkward, sad moments. But I think there's a lot of humor in the songs I feel that most of the songs, not all of them, but I would say most of the songs are optimistic or hopeful in some way. But they dig into anxiety. They dig into just, you know, sort of trying to figure out what it feels like to want somebody or to miss somebody. Or I think we just like sort of celebrate sort of awkward sadness in a different way that gets a lot of attention, I guess.
I actually want to play a song from the new record, High Violet, that is called Sorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like it's a song that's sort of about that.
Yeah. That's sorrow is someone's relationship with their own sadness, I guess. And it was, you know, it's something, I guess, a little bit about you know, a celebrating, and it's almost like a love song to sadness. They don't want to lose it.
Here's Sorrow from The Nationals' most recent album, High Violet.
Sorrow found me when I was young. Sorrow waited, sorrow won. Sorrow, they put me on the pill. It's in my honey, it's in my milk. Don't leave my hyper heart alone. On the water, cover me in rag and bone. Sympathy, I don't wanna get over you. I don't wanna get over you.
I wonder if these, there's so many themes in your songs about sort of finding ways to engage the world when you're, you know, when the world is crazy and scary, or when you're not sure if you can do it, or all these different challenges. And I wonder if this sort of newfound willingness to build to things in your mm-hmm. songs and have releases in your songs is reflective of being in a place in your lives and sort of being veteran adults, mm-hmm. so to speak, where you know better where you can engage the world and how you can engage the world.
I do feel like this record is, to use the word engagement, is turning away from the world. I mean, Fake Empire, which was on Boxer, that was definitely a song about just like turning off and pretending, you know, turning off the world and not engaging you know, because that was during the Bush time and stuff. And but High Violet is much more, I think. Is much more proactive and in not all the songs, but it is, I think, trying to a desperate attempt to feel connected and change things and get your hands on it instead of just, you know, turning your brain off and getting drunk and, you know, going off into La La Land, which was kind of what Fake Empire was about. I think it comes with sort of a, on a musical level, on a lyrical level, we've got a lot of confidence. We're not afraid of looking foolish. We're not afraid of coming across as too earnest. You know, you, with rock and roll, you shouldn't be afraid about saying about anything. You know, and so I've lost my fear of sounding like a fool, really, which I think is making me a better writer, hopefully.
Matt, thank you so much for taking this time to be on The Sound of Young America. It was great to have you.
It's been my pleasure.
Matt Berninger is the singer and lyricist of the band The National. Their most recent album is called High Violet. Here's one more song from High Violet. It's Terrible Love.
It's terrible love when I'm walking with spiders. It's terrible love when I'm walking in.
That's our time for another Sound of Young America program. I've been your host, Jesse Thorne. The show is produced by Speaking Into Microphones. Our music provided by Dan Wally, our associate producer, Julia Smith, our editor, Nick White. Our intern is Leo Portugal. Join us online at MaximumFun.org, where you can get all of our shows absolutely 1,000% for free. And if you have thoughts about the show, post them on our forum at forum.MaximumFun.org or email me at jesse@MaximumFun.org. And in conclusion, MaximumFun.org. We'll see you next time, right here on The Sound of Young America. The Sound of Young America is supported in part by Ask Metafilter. Thousands of life's little questions answered online at ask.metafilter.com.